Joy Fox, welcome to the Publix Radio.
Thanks, Ian. It's great to be here with you.
Give me 60 seconds on why you want to be the next member of Congress from Rhode Island's 2nd District.
There are three reasons why I would like to represent the 2nd Congressional District of Rhode Island in Congress. Number one, I've lived here my whole life. And number two and three, I've spent my entire career listening and trying to make a difference here. I grew up in Cranston. I live in Warwick now. I'm the oldest of five kids. My parents still live in the house that we all grew up in. I'm the proud aunt of two nephews and a niece and a graduate of Rhode Island College. I was a commuter student to Rhode Island College. After graduating from RIC, I went and worked in community newspapers, and that's where my listening really started. Got deeper into the community, working for the Cranston Herald, the Warwick Beacon, a little bit for Providence Business News and Channel 10. And that experience was amazing for, again, getting deeper into the community, understanding the challenges facing all Rhode Islanders, but also learning more about all the good things that are happening. I know campaigns are often about what's wrong, and we also need to lift up and highlight what's going well in Rhode Island, and I look forward to taking those stories to D.C. as well. And then I moved into public service. I worked for the Rhode Island Department of Corrections and A.T. Wall. And then I worked
Let me stop you there. As you say, there are challenges in Rhode Island. One of the challenges in this congressional race for the various contenders is there's a large field of Democrats, six Democrats running. How do you overcome the fact that you and other candidates might split some of the vote in against the perceived front runner, Seth Magaziner?
I'm focused on my race. I guess you'd have to talk to the other candidates about their strategies, but my strategy is one rooted in the district. It is meeting people on their porches. It is having conversations like this with you. It is getting out and meeting as many people as possible and demonstrating that there's a real choice in this race. There's someone that has lived here her whole life and worked to make a difference here her whole life. And I think that will resonate with the voters of the 2nd District.
The top issue for voters this year is the cost of living and inflation. Democrats control the levers of power here in Rhode Island and in Washington, D.C. Why should voters support Democrats given how they're presiding over this situation with record inflation?
I agree with you. The cost of living right now is unacceptable. It's out of control. And we shouldn't... while we're paying record prices at the pump and at the grocery store, we see corporate interests making way too much in profits, and that's unacceptable. I think Democrats do have solutions here. First and foremost, we need to look at price gouging and windfall profit taxes. We also need to look at continuing some of the things that we know that worked during the pandemic to support working families, such as permanent paid leave and the child tax credit. And then we need to look long term. We need to look to reducing our reliance on oil and moving to a clean energy economy. We need to build and get past a fair and equitable tax system where billionaires are paying their fair share. And then we need to look at education, training, and apprenticeship programs to make sure that while this economy is in transition for a long time, that all Rhode Islanders have the opportunity to participate.
Joe Biden will be, I believe, 82 in 2024 by the time of the next presidential election. Do you think he's the guy to lead the fight for Democrats in that election year?
I think that is up to Joe Biden to decide. I think we are seeing record job creation right now. I know that we're expected to have a cut in the deficit this year for the first time in years. But there is still work to do, and I look forward to rolling up my sleeves with my colleagues in D.C. and the Democratic Party to get the work done.
I know that protecting reproductive rights is important to you and most of your fellow Democrats in this congressional race. At the same time, even with concern about the threat to Roe v. Wade, it was not a secret that Republicans for many years were trying to reshape the U.S. Supreme Court in an ideological way more favorable to their views. So why did Democrats not do a better job of countering that?
I think I'm looking forward on this issue. We need to send Democrats to Washington who are willing to stand up and continue the fight for women's reproductive health. I do believe in a woman's right to choose, and I take that responsibility to fight for that right very seriously. The bottom line here, this is about accessible health care for everyone, reproductive rights, including abortion.
On healthcare, your former boss, Gina Raimondo, former governor, now U.S. Commerce Secretary, she opposed the acquisition in 2019 of Care New England, one of Rhode Island's two largest hospital groups, by Partners Healthcare, now known as Mass General Brigham. Now there's concern that Care New England might be taken over by a for-profit entity. Now there are healthcare unions who think that would be bad for healthcare in Rhode Island. Was it a mistake for Gina Raimondo to oppose the takeover of Care New England by Partners Healthcare?
I can't comment on what her thinking was there. What I can say, this is about, like I just said, making sure that Rhode Islanders have access to affordable health care across the board. And it's also making sure our health care workers, our caregivers on the front line are compensated for the work that they do. It is hard work. I was able to join the SEIU members up at the State House this week for their, you know, caregiver rally this week. And it's important that we keep both the patient and the person, the caregiver taking care of them, top of mind in all of these negotiations. And I was with a woman last night who has fought cancer 3 times, and she is facing hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and she has good health care. That is not acceptable. And that's what we need to get serious on here, both in Rhode Island and at the national level.
Some of the other candidates running in CD2 have a lot of elective experience. Seth Magaziner is general treasurer. David Siegel was a state rep and Providence city councilor. Alan Fung, longtime mayor of Cranston, for example. You come from a different kind of background. You were a staffer in state government and federal government for a long time. You worked as a press aide and advisor for Congressman Jim Langevin and for Governor Gina Raimondo. Why should the voters support someone like you, who does not really have previous elective experience, over other candidates who do have that experience?
Because I'm the person that all of the guys that you just mentioned turn to actually get the work done. I know what it's like to sit around the table and kick the tires on what strategy and what policies are best. I've been out in the community meetings and heard what is on people's minds. I know exactly how to get the job done from day one because I've been in the room where it happens.
As you said a little bit earlier, you are rooted in Rhode Island. You've lived in Rhode Island your whole life. We love Rhode Island. It has a lot of great things, great people, great qualities. But it also has some very familiar challenges. The public schools, for the most part across the state, have been underperforming for a long time. With the exception of this year, there's usually a big budget deficit. There is not enough good jobs. Why do you think it's been such a struggle to move forward and make progress on these issues?
I think we were making some progress before the pandemic, and the pandemic has set all of us back in many ways. We need to pick up where we left off before the pandemic and job creation, looking at our education system. And I also, if successful here, look forward to working with the rest of the delegation. I think our delegation is fantastic and punches above its weight in making sure that Rhode Island gets its fair share of federal funding coming back to the state. And that's the team that I hope to be a part of.
Voters in the 2nd District have never elected a woman to this congressional seat. This time around, there are two women Democrats running, yourself and Sarah Morgenthau. As fate or coincidence has it, each of you has a connection to former Governor Raimondo. You worked as Governor Raimondo's communications director. Sarah Morgenthau worked for the Commerce Department that is now led by Gina Raimondo. So I wonder, what role, if any, did Gina Raimondo play in your deciding to run and Sarah Morgenthau's deciding to run?
Yeah, before I answer that question, I do want to make one slight correction. So we did have a woman represent this district in Claudine Schneider. Look, I've had conversations with the former governor as well as the congressman. They've both been supportive and it's because of my experience working with them that I know that I can hit the ground running on day one. They taught me more deeply the value of listening to everyone, all concerned, to come at the best decision, but also how to balance, you know, the long-term needs with the short-term news of the day that comes up, all of which is important to Rhode Islanders and needs to be addressed.
Was it a surprise to you that Sarah Morgenthau became a candidate in this race?
No, I don't know that I've had any feelings about it one way or the other, actually.
Beyond inflation, what are you hearing about from voters as you campaign in the 2nd District?
You know, the top line that I hear is sick and tired of the divisiveness. How do we get past this? How do we get things done? And then the second issue is usually the issue that is top of mind, like the things that we've been talking about here, the economy, education. Most recently, especially when I'm out knocking on doors, it's gun safety. It is, we have got to get something done around gun safety. And beyond that, people just really, really love Rhode Island, and they want to see all of us succeed together. So it's been an extremely gratifying and humbling experience to be out talking to voters one-on-one and hearing what's on their mind. And I'm going to continue to do that through the primary.
How do you answer that question that you say voters have raised with you? How do we move past this divisiveness that has been growing more intense in American politics for many years now?
Yeah. I lean on my experience of listening. I'm not afraid to sit down with anyone, just like we are right now, looking at each other across the table and working towards solutions. Congressman Langevin in particular, but two of his big issues, which if I'm successful here, I'd like to continue, that he was able to work across divides was making sure our family caregivers were taken care of and making sure that our nation was prepared in terms of cybersecurity. Those are two things that I think we can all agree on that we need to continue. And if I'm successful, I will work to build beyond those two issues as well.
As I said a bit earlier, you had worked for Congressman Langevin some years ago as a communications director. What difference has he made on economic issues for Rhode Islanders in your view?
One of the biggest things that it's job creation, apprenticeship programs he's been a champion of, and making sure all people have access to the workforce, including people with disabilities. And I think that's important. There are a lot of people in this state that are willing and able to work. They just need maybe a little extra support to do that. So I think those were his two biggest contributions.
To come back to the issue of political polarization, it sometimes seems like we might be in a little bit of a bubble here in Rhode Island. We're such a small state that people often have to be civil with one another, and that's, we can say that's a good thing. But nationally, it seems like this polarization has driven people on the left to the left and people on the right to the right. Things are getting more polarized on a national basis. What do you think the answer is for that?
I think it's communication. I think it's being willing to reach out and look across the table at someone and have the conversations that need to happen. I think it also means being rooted in what we believe. We need affordable healthcare in this country. We need to tackle climate change. We need to solve the gun problem once and for all. These are things that we need to be able to sit down. And I believe my experience and perspective are best equipped to be able to reach across and have those conversations.
We're just about 3 months from the September 13th primary. What is your plan from here on in to try and win this?
Meeting as many people as I possibly can, getting out and about, having conversations, continuing conversations with you, Ian, and working really hard. This is all about standing up a campaign on everyone's front porch in every neighborhood. And I'd love for everyone listening today to check out the website and come join us on a walk.
And the website can be found at?
JoyFoxCongress.com.
On the lighter side, what is your favorite or a few of your favorite restaurants in the 2nd District?
Oh, there's too many to count. I will say this. It's wherever my family and friends are. And usually if it's family, friends, plus walkable. So anywhere in Patuxent Village is just fine by me if I'm there with family and friends.
Democratic candidate in Rhode Island's 2nd Congressional District, Joy Fox, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. You can find me on Twitter at Ian Don. I'm Ian Donis.